there, everybody. Welcome to another brand new episode of Because Cannabis here on Wayward Media. My name is BC Wayman. That is Dustin Cava. How you doing today, sir?
I'm doing awesome today. I am really, really awesome today.
I really run. Dustin is like a kid in a candy store because we have a great guest on our show today, and we're super excited to bring our guest on here in just a few moments. I am excited as well. We've been having a string of great guests recently here on Because Cannabis from Wayward Media, wayward.media on the interwebs. Follow us socially at MeetWM. Dustin, our guest today is, I guess, an expert, right? Definitely an expert in his field and what we do. We talk about cannabis here every single week, every Wednesday, 4:20 p.m. That's when a brand new show debuts on YouTube, and you can catch those shows on audio as well, anywhere that you listen to audio podcasts. If you're watching on our YouTube channel, we would appreciate that subscription. Take your little finger, click it on the mouse, click it on the subscribe button. It would definitely help out. Dustin, we like to think we are, I don't know if we're experts, but knowledgeable, right? Would you consider yourself knowledgeable about the things that we talk about on this show?
No. Wow. I think I got 20 years into dedicating little parts of so much within the industry that I just feel like there's not much specialized, but there is a great overall jack of all trades understanding of how things fit together. And so it's a total different thing writing on something or like doing it. It's not especially, it's what we talk about is just broad.
I think you got to work on your confidence. I'm totally down with being an expert in whatever I talk about. You know that whatever I say into this microphone is a fact, even if it's wrong, right? That's how it works. But I'll tell you, I appreciate this medium. I'm able to turn on the system, fire the computer, turn on the audio equipment. Boom. Here we go. We just made a show, right? We created content. The act of trying to disperse this information via, say, a book, right? Or even blogging on articles, which I've tried to do. The act of taking the time to take your fingers and clickety-clack on keyboards again and again and again, words after words after words, tens of thousands of words created, and then editing and revising and editing and revising. That feels like a ton of work. Do you ever think there's anything in your life that you're that good at that you want to take the time to just spew onto a keyboard?
Not in terms of the general public reading, but I do think that there is a tremendous power in journaling. Ooh. And and it has been a tremendous benefit to my own life. And so 30, 40,000 words, that seems normal. That seems genuous. And
It just make it a board now because you're trying to impress me, the author on the show. You're trying to impress him right now. I don't think it's going very well. We have a wonderful guest that we're going to bring on the show in just a minute. Let's bring in Jorge. And I know Jorge Cervantes. We're going to talk to you about what you're an expert in. But before we do that, I was Googling, searching around the YouTubes, and I saw a video of you flying a gyrocopter. A couple of years ago, cannabis farm. So I need to know about that experience. We'll talk cannabis. Everyone knows that you know cannabis, but they don't know about your gyrocopter experience. So just tell us for a minute before we get into talking about all the great books, including your newest book that's available right now. What was it like to be kind of in the air flying that gyrocopter?
Those things are great. That belongs to my friend, No, that was the training one. My friend Harman, he owned Green Air Products. They sell CO2 generators and stuff. Okay. He's an old friend of mine. We've known each other like forever and ever. That was just outside of Portland, Oregon. And he wanted to fly around and stuff, but he didn't want to... it kind of comes out of the past and stuff. Yeah. You do things that are on the edge. Anyway, he goes and he says, "Yeah, you want to fly on this thing?" Because they had the pilot. See, I was in front, and they had the smart guy behind me that knew what he was doing. Because that's the first time I've ever done that, and it was cooler than shit, man. you have to wear gloves and stuff. It gets cold up there. But God, you can take those things up really high and down low, and they're safe as heck. They're safer than the helicopter. And we cruised around, and the stick shakes like that. You know, you have to hold on to it. Yeah, it was really cool. I loved it. It was a lot of fun, and I haven't done it since. It's just one of those things that comes up. He's into them, like, really big. He likes those. He likes motorcycle, all the stuff with he's a big Harley guy, and likes all the stuff with motors and stuff. Yeah, motor yacht and all that stuff, you know. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. But thanks, Harmon. It was because of him that I did it, and we went up and we came down. And it was all right.
Sometimes that is the most important factor of anything. Did you land? Like, that's the key, right? Getting up is one thing. Did you make a lot of
really fast too, you know? And one big blade that spins around like the big one up there.
It's only the motor pushing it forward that actually provides the movement. And it's that movement forward that lifts that gives it that thrust to move up. And that's so, like, correct. That tactile expression and, like, how close you are to every cable and screw as you're up there in that machine, like, you really, everything that I've read, everything that I've ever heard is, like, it is such a sensory experience that even sometimes fighter pilots and helicopter pilots are like, the gyrocopter, now that is where I had the most fun and the most true feeling of flying, because you just are so... there, you're all the elements are with you and around you, and there's not many moving parts. That's all true.
You
what look a cool, down and there's cool like, experience.
You, know, you just look down and you just look straight down, and there that's, down
that's
there.
So there's awesome.
No, floor or wall or anything.
That is pretty cool. Surreal experience. You can check that out on Jorge's YouTube channel. We found that there. We have Jorge Cervantes, the author of, well, many books, over 50 books about cannabis, but the newest one, Regrow Cannabis, which was written in companionship with Dr. Gary Yates and Stephen Martin Meyer, which you can get the first 100 pages, a digital copy of that available on seedsman.com right now. You'll find the link in the comments below. So let's get started here, Jorge. You've written 50
plus
books. A
couple of things.
Books.
Actually, that's a complete book by itself. It comes out, and we already translate to Spanish, and it's 100 pages in English, and it's Cultivamos Cannabis is the other. Well, it's just, you know, cannabis, and we grow cannabis in Spanish, but that's a little longer. It's 118 pages PDF, like you said. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. So you've written all these books. You have all these books out there. What was the idea or the impetus to kind of create this newer version with Seedsman, this We Grow Cannabis that you wrote? Why keep writing more books about cannabis growth if you've already written so many?
Yeah, well, a few reasons, actually. This one, I'd rewritten the marijuana horticulture, you know, I don't have a copy right here, but, you know, it's a fat one there. Everybody calls it the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your 1983's publication?
No, yeah, like, it's a progression.
Like a revisionary.
I did that. That was the first the first edition, and the one that everybody seems to know. I got a picture of it. This one here. That one with that one, it's like 16 or 17 years old now, I can't remember, but, you know, it's still around, you know, I mean, so the information must be okay. It's dated, you know, a bunch of stuff not in there. But see, the other thing you guys might not know is I've done books in eight different languages. See, three, five, eight different, it's backwards here, eight different languages. And so other people could grow more too. It's not just a English speaking world. And we got to remember that. That's important. So,
you had a prolific impact on my family. A lot of my family is involved in the industry. And 20 years ago, you inspired so much, like my brother, who then inspired me. And I think of the 10,000 or over 10,000 hours that each of us has spent within the industry directly correlated and followed through the chain going back to you. And when I think about you writing these books in other languages, and I think about We Grow Cannabis, I think about the new collaborative effort, this idea that it's this community involvement in this, and also that when you translate this, when you're working with, you do see the value in the community to collaborating with local translators, translators who truly understand how to resonate the same message, but in a whole different area and a whole different set of understanding. And I really, I love that part about you, that humbleness of, I may have done this for so long, but it's really all these other people that help make this the reality. And it's amazing.
Without those guys, I mean, I'm just the guy that talks, I can type and shit. And I learned to listen a long time ago. A lot of people have trouble with that one. And then the other thing is, I can't really take credit for a few things. It was Stefan that talked me into giving stuff away for free. And also, the reason I brought this book out is we're uploading this book to you too, and we're giving this one away for free. Wow. It's 27 chapters. It's honking big, dude.
Yeah, that's it's an enormous book.
Like 20. But I missed the market thing on this. It weighs almost 2 kilos. You know, that's a lot. It's like heavy. And then it costs too much. And then people there. I don't know
what. But when you get an encyclopedia, what encyclopedia have you ever gone and picked up off the shelf where it wasn't this tactile expression of information, like this is the rock in which I'm going to build the foundation off of? That's an encyclopedia. If you wanted to call it the compendium on interesting cannabis facts or growing or something, then I'm like, it could be a little bit different. But yes, it's so substantial how much is in there.
See, yeah, there's a bunch of stuff in here. There's about 250,000 words in here. You were talking about that earlier. Wow. But here's the thing. I didn't come up with the name either. It was my publisher, Mishka, from French publisher, Mama de Sions, that came up with this. We were talking, and she said, I didn't have a name. And she said, well, that sounds more like an encyclopedia to me. Said, yeah, that's probably a good idea. That's how it won. But it wins the name. See, it has to win it. It has to earn the name.
Yes.
It's a good name, though.
And this one, my buddy Tony, you can see he only talks Spanish, and Valenciano too. He lives south of here. I'm in Barcelona. He's 4 hours south in Valencia. But he took this photo. Tony 13 is him. And you can see. You
credit him in a lot of pictures in your book. I think he also worked on We Grow Cannabis, as he did a cover or some artwork for that too, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. I can't remember all the stuff he did, you know, but if I look at it, I can remember then. But he did also one of these case studies in here. Mm-hmm. This is a garden. I had a house in Sonoma. This is one. This one's me here.
Okay.
I was number four. And Tony, here's Tony. Here's the picture of Tony. Yeah, he's a great guy. I love Tony.
Shout out to
he's
Tony. Like,
yeah. Tony 13. Yeah. Well, that's what he wants to be called, and it works.
We all have our nom de plumes, Jorge.
Branding is.
it's really named Tony. But he's got fibromyalgia, and he didn't like, he hated cannabis before. He tried it, and it helped him with his disease, and it basically gave him back his life. Yeah.
That is amazing. You know, it's funny. Not funny, but the plant seems to have that effect on people. And as Dustin is talking, and I'm thinking of Dustin having kind of this generational impact with some of the books you've written, and maybe he passes it down. Does that sometimes sit in your brain? Like, you have inspired parents, and you have inspired children who are now in children or adult children who have done that. And there's going to be generations, literal generations of people in this industry who are using your insights and your knowledge and will continue to pass that out. Does that feel weighty to you? Does it feel just like good that they're caring? How's that like to think about?
It's kind of like responsibility. I look at it, you know, it's like could be heady stuff. And it is sometimes. Like, we had the Spanibus Fair this weekend. That's here in Barcelona.
That's your like third or fourth year going to that, right? You've been going and being a part of that for a long time.
No, I was here when it started. I was here when it fucking started, dude. Yeah. I'm old. I've been doing this 40 years now. Yeah. And I don't know if the swear words can go in, but
they absolutely.
They're descriptive.
Yes, I do. I'm sorry.
No worries. But yeah, I've been doing it a long time, and it was good this year because we had today is the lockdown day. 3 years ago here in Spain, we locked down 3 months. Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
And so today's the third year anniversary of the lockdown. And we didn't have Spanbus for 2 years. And then we had it last year, but people were kind of afraid to go.
Yeah.
Because they didn't, they didn't know if everybody would show up, and it was soft market, and it was odd. So it was okay last year, but this year there was no fear whatsoever. Everybody came, and it sold out, and it was great. I got to see a bunch of old friends and stuff. It was nice. And then, God, I took pictures with literally hundreds of people. That got a little tiring.
going to ask, when you go to these events, you are recognized, right? You are a bit of a cannabis celebrity. Do you like that role, or do you wish you could just slink into the background and enjoy the show?
It's good sometimes, and other times it's not. I got these pictures here. I used to have to wear a disguise. Can you see that?
Absolutely, on my
website.
And that's how I've always known you throughout my entire life, is that disguise. And so I thought, to me, it was powerful when you came out of your cannabis closet in 2006. It's a very powerful thing to finally say, you know what? I'm not downing this anymore. I want to talk about that process in general. What made you finally say?
There's something else. I got to give Stefan the credit for this. Stefan Meyer, the one that came up with the community concept. It was all around me. I just didn't see it, you know? Hmm. And he's the one that can't really push that hard. It makes a lot of sense to me, because we've been split off in factions and all that. And everybody's like living in their own little world, and that's stupid. We should all be together.
Yes.
But he's the one that came up with that. I agree. I just didn't see it. You know, I mean, sometimes it's why you need everybody else. See that?
It's not about seeing it. It's about recognizing when someone does show it to you, the importance of it, being able to internalize that and not just shun that. It's not, you know, that first time around driving down the road, passing a street, you miss details, but I think that's the power in the humbleness in which you really personify this. I didn't seek out to be influential. I sought out to teach. I sought out to educate you know, and all that other stuff came along with it by just chance.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's a really powerful and humble beginning. It means the world to me. And when I look at, you know, what is possible within the industry and what is possible when you have the right reasons behind what you
do. Okay. So one of my sayings has always been, you can do this at home. You guys should do it too. It's all right, man. Yeah. But those things are important, you know, because who wants to be hanging out alone, being the coolest guy? A lot of those guys, the coolest one in their neighborhood. Who gives a fuck? I don't, you know. I want you to be like who you are and talk to everybody else, help other people. And sometimes it's stupid to do that, but, you know, sometimes I'm just stupid. You know,
how has it been over the last, you know, 40 years or so since you've been writing these books, the evolution of the industry? I mean, you've seen a lot of changes from, you know, these times to now, this more open acceptance. You live in an area, and I'm not even sure what Spain is like. I know some European countries are being more embracing of
it.
You can obviously
grow at home, correctly?
Yeah.
And the U.S. has a variety of different laws based off state. It gets very complicated and such. How has it been watching this industry, which was just birthed from you trying to enjoy the plant and appreciate it, to what you're doing now in this educating and putting out books digitally? How has this been the last 40 years watching this industry from a plant grower to a teacher and a plant shower?
I just went and got a copy of my first book. This is it. See, it's like skinny. See how fat this one is.
More, right? You just keep having to add on the words.
This one's got staples, and these are like, well, they call it A4 here. You know,
the are those the ones from self-publishing or printing?
Yeah. Well, nobody had printed it. Nobody had published it. And I had trouble, and I didn't have enough money to print it. So I was fortunate. I worked at a newspaper office in my hometown, Ontario, Oregon. And what happened was, so I rent time on a multi-lith press, and then I printed it and made it. And then nobody wanted to sell it, so I went out and sold it. And I'll be damned if it didn't sell 6,000 copies the first year. And so then I had enough money to make one with the spine on it and make it bigger. But yeah, I mean, you know, there's a bunch of stuff. Well, see, I mean, I had to make these pictures. I
draw them by hand.
It's amazing.
I'm not too good at it.
I love that picture.
But it's that perseverance.
I traced this one. There,
okay, let's go. That looks a little more clearly defined on the lines and such. What was your first sales pitch? Do you remember going up to someone? Like, what were you asking them when they wanted to sell the book? What would you remember kind of, you're like, hey, I got a book that's going to help you grow weed. Like, what was your sales pitch like to try and sell this book on the street to people, you know, 40 years ago?
I didn't sell them on the street. I'd sell them to a wholesale. Well, I didn't sell them. I'd sell them directly into a retail store either.
Okay.
And head shops were somewhat interested. Grocery stores were somewhat interested. That was before the RICO laws really hit, because this one came out in 1983, and the RICO Operation Green Merchant. That's the way to look it up. It's on my website. It's on the history about Jorge Cervantes. And anyway, there was still conspiracy laws, but nothing had been done about it. But so I would go and sell them to those guys, and some people would pay me right then, but most of them wanted consignment because they didn't think they'd sell. And then they'd sell, and so I would drive over there and then dump some more books off. And then I had the first year was good, and then I had enough money to get it printed, and you know, I think I got pictures of those. I don't know. I guess not. Here's this one. It's this one here, the one with the after. Well, it's the one that's the rainbow color with all the colors of
yes.
and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the first foreign edition I did was Dutch. Did with Ward Nord. Yeah. Dutch one, marijuana binnen, yeah.
Is it? Yeah, I did. Was it just that at that time it was a really prominent and open place to discuss it, and so it was a natural choice to do the book in that language instead of Spanish or instead of, because you are bilingual in Spanish.
Yeah, that's true. But the only two languages, I just got English and Spanish. I understand other ones, but it's not like I can talk them. With Dutch, it was, they had coffee shops and stuff over there, and everybody was moving over there because they kept getting busted in the U.S. and so they wouldn't get busted over there. And yeah, and there was, they had extradition treaties, but you pretty much get around those. Because the law was different. They wouldn't put you in jail for the same thing, so they wouldn't extradite you. But you had to get a lawyer, and it was expensive. Otherwise, they'd just kick you out. Or they'd send you back to your home country on the airplane and watch you get on the airplane is what they do. Yeah, that's pretty unpleasant.
I would imagine so. And we should say all these books, the link is below, are available at Jorge-Cervantes.com. How has that been for you?
Or marijuanagrowing.com, too. I don't.
Marijuanagrowing.com.
You can get them on Amazon, too. But marijuana with a J, not an H or a G, you know, because in Europe they spell it with H, and they used to spell it with H in the United States.
Yes, the marijuana spelling.
Latin America, they spell it with an H usually, but the Mexicans, they all spell with a G, marijuana. It's funny, huh?
Those are all available in the links below. Have you liked this transition to digital? You know, you have a YouTube channel now. You're doing some more on that digital platform. Do you like this, or do you miss the old, as Dustin likes to say, tactile response of writing a book and someone opening it and reading it? How has this transition been in the last like 10 years or so as you've moved into more of this digital way to communicate with people?
Okay, there's been progressions. First it was Amazon to actually believe that would work. I was in there a long time ago.
I bet that was a hard one to start with right away.
Yeah, it was different. And then, that was advice from other people why I did that. And then, YouTube, I got really, it was good and bad with YouTube because I made three videos. The first one, Ultimate Grow video. Jorge Cervantes Ultimate Grow video. That's right. And that was...
I own Ultimate Grow too.
Okay. Yeah. That was the one I shot here that we shot in Spain. And that was with Bean, David Bean and Stock. He was my director. He used to work in at High Times then. That's all changed now. But yeah, with Bean, that was really good. But the first one was shot up in Vancouver, BC. And what happened there is they wanted me to do, High Times specifically, they wanted me to do a video for a long time. And it wasn't the right time. This one I did, I can take credit for myself. It was the time to release it. But the part I didn't really understand was YouTube. And, you know, that's when they had started. Recently, I don't know exactly when, but they'd started getting some traction and going up exponential growth. And then people started pirating these videos or this video or pieces of it and then putting it on YouTube. And a lot of them had put, you know, it's like advertisements for themselves, for their business and stuff.
And
I didn't really understand how powerful all of that was, the dissemination, because they were pirating, and I've had tons of problems with pirating, but so I had to embrace it, because if I didn't embrace it,
it would just break your heart and drive you mad.
Well, that was at first. I accepted it, but you know, and I accepted it quite a while ago, because you know, I mean, remember that guy Kim.com?
Oh, I remember Kim.com.
Yes, that's a name I haven't heard of.
Oh yeah, Mega Upload. He owned. He was So I remember Kim very much. So
yeah, I made him a lot of money.
Yes,
and a few other, and there's all those torrents that you really can't do much about it.
No.
Copyright means virtually very little. And so it's just what's happening. You have to do it. And the cool thing is about, I don't have to pay for paper. I don't have to run that kind of a business, a distribution.
Yes, the overhead is different.
Oh, all the details. See, in the book business, I function as a bank, as a publisher. And all the other guys are, they work on my money. And so it keeps you limited to how much money you're willing to invest. And usually you make mistakes, and so you can lose money easily. And I'm very, very pleased to still be in business. And so I have to make the step to digital. And like I said, it was Stefan that pointed that out to me. You know, now we will do that. This sun's going to come in pretty soon. I'm up on top of the building, it'll come in and hit my face.
7 minutes or so left until we wind down. So, you know, we're not gonna, you're okay.
Okay. Okay. And then the water, I'm about a mile and a half from the Mediterranean. So as soon as the sun starts going down, the weather pattern changes. You know, the wind blows in instead of down.
All right.
Yeah. You know, like everywhere else in the world, you know, it's a water mountain, you know. Yeah.
I think one of the most amazing things I've heard so far throughout this interview multiple times, Jorge, is your willingness to collaborate, right? You talked about Stefan and being people all these times. You constantly give credit to people who have helped you with this decision. Yeah. Is that something that you feel in cannabis especially is important, like the collaboration, not just sharing the information, but working with people to understand the plants and the constant changing of what we understand scientifically, the constant ability to process this plant into a variety of things. Does this 100%. Collaboration something you found to be vital, like mandatory to survive in this industry?
Not to survive.
Not survive, but to make it like maybe successfully.
There's something that's always bothered me is people that are egotistical, that want to take credit for everything, shit they didn't earn. They'll say it's theirs. And I've never really liked that. And there's a lot of egotistical people in this industry. And I'll do what I can do to change that. Because here's the thing. There's a lot of really smart, good people, but they don't talk a lot. They're not, they're not outgoing. Yes. And they're really smart. And they're just hiding because they don't get enough viewing, in the window. Spanish word, vitrinaje.
It can be tough. Shit. People who spend so much time with the plant.
If I move over here.
To there.
The laundry's over
Jorge
there.
Jorge, going on right here, there.
It's okay. My face is still okay.
I love it. Your face is gorgeous, Jorge. You're awesome.
We got plants.
Okay. It's that interesting development that people are trying to figure out. And sometimes people are really smart with the plant. But as you said, they're not great communicators of that information. Yeah. Like they're dirt people. Their hands are in the dirt. They get it. But how to expand that? So I love that you've been able to bridge that gap and willingness to share. Because I feel like, and Dustin, we talk about this a lot. There's a lot of secrets in our industry. Everyone thinks they have the secret sauce to the magic soil, to the magic light. There's secrets.
Yes, thank you.
That's all bullshit. It revolves around ego and money and control. That's it. And that's doesn't help anybody except about this many people, about three people, on top. And that's it.
I think a lot of that idea with you, though, you've lived in so many different places and seen and been a part of so much culture. And I would be very surprised if you walked out of those situations and didn't retain some of that thought process and some of that feeling. Whereas, like in the States here, we really don't travel. There's so many states to go to. The area is so broad and so that we tend to stay here, which keeps that mentality very small. And I when I hear you lived in Mexico and you lived in Canada and you're in Spain and you're in Oregon, and it's just I think a lot of that, it's representing you. It outpours from you in your understanding. And it's a really cool, it's something special. It's something I wish I could give to my children.
Well, just get up, move around, it's scary as hell. And you have to suffer and you have to learn a bunch of stuff and people make fun of you. They take advantage of you. Oh, well, you just get stronger.
Stronger. Let's talk a little bit before we let you go, Jorge, just about the plant and the science behind it. You've been doing this for a long time, and you even talked about one of your first books back in 83, like this big, right? This much information. And now we're
96 pages, 8.5 by 11 format.
So much more. What has been an exciting development in this industry? Is there something that's come along in the last 10 years that you're like, I've been doing this forever, but my gosh, this or this?
Recently has been LED lights, LED lights.
Okay.
Because they make it more efficient. The biggest thing has really been the internet and the proliferation of information.
Yes.
And everything has gotten inexpensive to do, way inexpensive. Look, we can do this right now. And we're talking like a few years ago, we couldn't do this. Sitting outside on my terrace, all of the tests have gotten inexpensive. The only tests that were made before were for forensic tests, the tests that were like, how strong is your dope? And it's just so they could show that as court evidence, for the judge. And so you go to jail. Now people test cannabis. And But I mean, I had a house, or my wife and I had a house in Sonoma for some years during the time we lived here, but we sold it. Well, it was too much to live there. Anyway, but was it? From Samantha Miller from Pure Analytics. Pure Analytics in Santa Rosa. She came up with, one of the things she came up with was when everybody was doing, finding out about CBD and stuff. In fact, my buddy, my good friend, Jaime Carrion, he's the one that came up with, Canatonic. Yeah. He's over there teaching them to grow in Thailand now for a few years. Yeah. Four years now.
Oh, that's awesome.
But then there was Sour Tsunami that came out of like Lawrence Ringo had that. And then there was a few the other ones that split off of that, and then those five brothers and the Charlotte's Web, you know.
Yes.
All of that stuff came out, and like Jaime and Lawrence. I didn't know Lawrence really well before he died. I met him a few times. We really didn't know each other, but Jaime I know really like long time, like 25 years, I think. Yeah. And he goes, well, you know, I mean, this is what it is. I mean, he's an honest, straightforward guy when it comes to all the, and he's like a grower, breeder guy. But what happened was like, everybody goes, many of the other people, they'd say they had the only one and you could only get it through them. And it's all fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
and then Samantha, who was testing a lot there from, Pure Analytics in Santa Rosa, she said, well, from what I found in her test, she's just running through, and everybody had been doing, breeding only for high THC or crossing plants, chucking pollen, really, crossing plants. They had, she said, about one out of 500 varieties that she tested had a dominant CBD gene. So, I mean, immediately, you know, all you have to do is go look for that stuff and then you find it and you promote it a little bit, but now it's all over the place. And now we know a lot more about genetics and where it's, we can measure everything and, you know, and they're decoding the genome.
Yes.
For cannabis. They found like specific, like a couple of, genes are connected to the photoperiodic place, just like that's a bad example. I can't think of anything. I'm kind of tired. We had that fair and
now it happens.
Yeah. Yeah. So but I can't remember everything.
We have had a couple amazing guests on there that are doing some incredible stuff with the genes, even helping breeders kind of figure out stuff before they even start their process and streamlining and saving time. I want to bring up a really good point that you mentioned, which was the
proliferation.
Dustin.
The internet. And you're not talking about in the United States, you're talking about in third world countries or in other countries where access to that information is incredibly difficult, and a Wi-Fi connection to finally, it makes a difference between whether they can support their families or take care of a loved one holistically. And so I really love that you're bringing awareness to that. I think it's just, again, a testament to who you are as a person, Jorge, and just how much I'm appreciative that you took this time out today to kind of just talk with us and chat.
Yesterday, for example, I did an interview with Julio Zunil. I've known him for years. He's from Cañamo, Mexico. Cañamo here it's a magazine. Cañamo means hemp it's kind of a safe word to use. But Cañamo means hemp in Spanish. And when I told him about putting the encyclopedia online in Spanish, because see, I never published it in Spanish because I would have lost money. So I didn't do it. It wasn't viable for me. But to put it on, you know, make it for free in Spanish, first thing he says, you know, this is going to change a lot of people's lives.
Yes.
Didn't have access. Yes. And that's him saying it to me. You know, it's not, he says it. It's important that he says it to me because he understands. And there's a bunch of other guys, like, you know, you look at just for only South America. The distances are very, very great in between, and shipping is very expensive, and it opens a whole new door to everybody. You know, it's really good, and see, I can make a lot more languages now, and it's inexpensive to do. You know, and that's really important. I don't have to have a bunch of warehouses, invest, you know, money I don't have, or look for investors that maybe don't have my best interests or other people's best interests. I can, you know, do my little trip and have a good time. But see, I got these other guys. See, I got Gary now. He got a PhD in microbiology and genetics. And he's, you know, and he's brilliant, but he's more than willing to share. We have same idea. Same with Stefan. And Stefan, he talks six languages. Yeah.
Oh, so wow. That's
he's
awesome.
Like, yeah, it's well, I just can't understand French. I have a hard time with French and German. Those Italian, I can go okay, but if they talk fast, I can't. But see, he helps me with all those things. So that's really good.
We love the fact that you are like spreading that language out, getting those words out, teaching people about it on a lot of different languages. And once again, the links to the website on there will be down below. I would be remiss. I want to real quick before we go, hemp is coming out, industrial hemp usage. How has that been? Like, are you excited that besides THC, we're seeing some more embracement of these other cannabinoids outside of the THC? Does that like excite you?
More
uses on an industrial level?
You bet, because see, there's a bunch of stuff, you know, the concrete business, you know, making cement, that's really labor, well, not labor, but it's really asset, like natural resource intensive, and it really screws up the environment a lot. And you can change a lot of that with cannabis by filling it in. And it's a good insulating for, and there's a lot of building qualities. I don't know tons about it. I know a little bit. And then the other thing that I didn't really realize, and I went over to breeders in Switzerland, and they're working, one of the things they're working on is to make a, pick up a higher protein level in cannabis. Because see, it's a low consumption plant for nutrients. And also they're working on to make it more drought resistant, you know, because if you look at it in terms of sativa and indica, sativa's got these huge ass roots, man. And then the indica types or the short squat plants, they have small root system, but you can put those two together with genetically, see, and you can do it. And since cannabis is what it, like it is, you can make many generations really in 1 year. And then you add the computer in there, you can, instead of 7 years to turn around like a good, solid, strong variety that's stable and everything, because it's an inbreeder and all that stuff, so it's kind of hard. But you can cut that in half down to anywhere from 3 years to 3.5. So it's way faster. But see, now the main crop is soybeans, and then there's corn too, and well, corn's a seed, you know, I mean, it fixes more carbon faster and stuff. So it's a C4 instead of a C3. But cannabis is a high C3. So it fixes carbon, and so it grows faster. But you can, you know, a bunch like really smart people I know that are good at breeding, have like doctorate degrees and stuff. They're all working with auto flowering plants because you know when they're going to finish. And there's more work that needs to be done with them. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. And then the last thing to bring up there is all of the industrial hemp that's been bred so far, since cannabis is an inbreeder, all of them have, like all these problems, pest and disease problems that don't really show up in drug cannabis as often. So another smart guy, I get to hang out with guys like doctor. We have doctorate degrees now. And they'll pay attention. Yeah, they pay attention and stuff. I'm not some weirdo stoner shit, man.
I love
it. So, yes, so it's good, that part. And so anyway, without drug cannabis, they really don't have an adequate gene pool to really go to the next step. And that's pretty important. Because, well, it is, because it's just very, very limited on one side and the other side. And now if they're together, but they need each other. They need each other. It's really important. And then for, you know, the breeders that I was poo-pooing before that were chucking pollen, they've done an amazing job. They've acclimated plants, but they've only bred for, well, weight and potency, THC potency.
Yeah.
But meantime, unknowingly, they also bred for disease and pest resistance. You know, so everybody got to get along here.
I think that is the appropriate phrase for this interview to end with Jorge Cervantes. Everyone just needs to get along. Collaboration was obviously a through point through this. Jorge, thank you so much for joining us here on Because Cannabis. We really appreciate your knowledge, spending time with us from Spain, and really one of the, you know, the overseers of the cannabis industry, and the knowledge and sharing, the fact that you're out there sharing it in multiple languages. We'll find all the links to Jorge's books in the comments below, including Amazon. Definitely support him. You already know who he is, but we appreciate you spending a few minutes with us to just entertain us, educate us, for sure. So thank you so much for joining us today.
No worries. Thank you. Nate, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. And I appreciate it. Just, grow more, grow today, plant today, all of that stuff.
Grow more, grow today. Put your plants in the ground, people. Make sure you subscribe. Before you do that, subscribe, then go put your plants in the ground. Thank you, Jorge, for joining us. Dustin, great to see you again. Every week, 4:20 p.m., a brand new episode of Because Cannabis. Take care, everybody.